Welcome to Fireside, your source for discussions on not only the latest and greatest from PsyCor, but also helpful tips and tricks. I'm your host and PsyCor MVP, Josh Hover. Welcome to today's podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about headless for PsyCor. Joining us today is Thomas Desmond, developer advocate at PsyCor. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
We also have Chet Potvin as a return guest, PsyCor architect, and also PsyCor MVP. Welcome to the show, Chet.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me back.
Great. Excited to kick off today's topic. So, headless. I know that we've all seen headless trending over the last few years, but really it's been gaining a lot of traction since the composable stack has really been shifting and been made a priority at PsyCor. So, I think for the listeners, maybe what we can do is take a step back and look at some of the terms in composable and headless and talk a little bit more in detail about what each of those are. So what is composable?
So I like to think composable as a kind of pick and choose when you're coming to your digital experience solution. This means that instead of being tied to one large solution that has kind of all of your capabilities, you get to pick and choose smaller sections and really find what works for you and what's going to work for your solution. So some of those composable pieces could be email marketing, your customer data platform, CDP, e-commerce, hosting, kind of having all of these separate pieces that you're going to then mesh together. Some call it the best of breed, where you get to just pick what works for you. And some of the kind of things that are nice in there is the SaaS-based solutions, your standalone products, and kind of integrating with your existing tech stack rather than trying to find something that trying to mesh something into you. You can find what works best for your solutions.
I like the comment that you just made about how if you already have an existing tech stack, you don't have to alter that stack when you're switching to the platform. You can keep that in place if it's working well for you. Of course, PsyCor has a suite of, but if there's something that's already working, you can integrate PsyCor's SaaS-based solutions.
And yeah, something else to add into there that I really like about the composable is that if I just want to do email marketing, I can pick just that tool for now, focus on that, make sure I get the value that I want out of email marketing, and then can add in your e-commerce, add in your next solution there. So you can kind of focus in on what's really going to have high value right now and make sure that that's working.
Yeah. So build on, So essentially you're going to be building out your product base, making sure it's delivering without carrying the overhead of all of your product suite. So yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the main reasons why I start most conversations around composable and what it is headless is part of the composable stack as well. You can pick and choose your headless rendering host just like you can any other component. So if you want to build a front end for a mobile application, that's a component. If you want to build a Next.js application hosted in Vercel, that's part of that stack as well. So that's why if I lead with talking about headless, most clients look at me like I'm crazy. I'm talking about decapitation, and that's confusing for them. So starting with composable and then, you know, leading into the discussion about headless, I've had the most success there.
I think that's a good segue. So what is headless? What does exactly mean?
What is headless? So I think it helps to define, like, I guess, what is the head? The head is your front end or like a UI presentation layer. And the back end is going to be your business logic or content. So this idea of headless is decoupling that front end from your back end and trying to get more flexibility from that so that you have complete control over kind of how and where your data is presented. And I think just to clarify that the front end and back end are still going to communicate a lot in this headless architecture, but now it's going to be maybe over an API. Your front end will request what it needs, and then it can just tell the back end, hey, this is what the visitor has done. So there's still an exchange of information, but you have a lot more flexibility over how that presentation layer, that front end works.
And I think it would make sense to talk a little bit more about what some of the benefits of headless are. I know that we're able to pick the headless approach, I mean the the technology that jives best. But I think it's also important to really touch on what the benefits of choosing Headless is, aside from the composable platform.
Yeah, so I think the biggest benefit that really comes out is the kind of omni-channel experience, is that you can have a front end anywhere, especially with things moving from no longer just the web. We're talking mobile devices, watches, billboards, fridges now have screens. So we're displaying our content. Our front end is going to really be all sorts of different products. So I think the biggest benefit there is that kind of omni-channel, being able to display your content, show it everywhere.
I think that makes sense. And the flexibility that it also gives you by decoupling your front end from your back end, it makes things like upgrades so much easier. If you need to upgrade your front end framework, let me clarify, not upgrades as far as your back end framework.
Yeah, that and performance, scalability, availability, all huge benefits, because in a traditional Sitecore implementation, or a monolithic implementation, you'd have to kind of work with that whole piece together. And when you're working with a headless architecture, then, you know, obviously that front end piece is going to be critical infrastructure that you can scale independently, and you can make it available independently, so that if any of those underlying dependent systems happen to fail, then your overall website stays online. And that's kind of a cool feature of a headless architecture.
What kind of trends are you seeing in the market space as we're following headless?
What's really popular right now is just AI, ChatGPT. You've got a lot of your artificial intelligence or generation of content. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing even those being integrated into other platforms of having different connections. Like, hey, I want to, for my content, just have ChatGPT set up a prompt, create content that maybe I can curate a little bit. I think there's still some curation that needs to be had. It's not just ready to go. I think the AI space is one area, and also automation. That's something that I really like, is just this automation aspect. Because when you're working with headless, you've got a lot of different, usually or composable as well. You have all these different pieces that you're trying to integrate together. So a trend is with trying to set up a connection between them, so they all talk to each other. That can be a pain point sometimes if you've got 5 composable pieces you try and connect to each other. But I think with automating, be able to use webhooks or other different connections between the two is a way that people like this composable thing, but trying to orchestrate it all together is something that we're looking at.
I think that AI is definitely huge. I feel like everywhere you turn, everyone's talking about the capabilities of being able to automate things like content generation. So I think figuring out how that integrates with headless is going to be key.
That was one of the things that I thought was going to be announced at Symposium last year, because Paige O'Neill was standing up there on the stage and she was showing all of these images that had been generated by AI. And so I was just waiting for her to turn around and be like, and it's in Sitecore today, you know, and you can like generate this, you know, these images based on content that have a unique context that you can't get anywhere else. But maybe that'll be for the next symposium.
Yeah. I do know that there is some content coming out that shows how to, with Content Hub 1, connecting using recipes and Sitecore connector. But there's not a true integration right now, but there is the capability of adding that functionality in yourself.
Team I worked with for hackathon this year actually built a module for connecting to an AI generator, and essentially pulled it into the media library, and you could type in parameters and then pull in generated images. So I think the capabilities after the hackathon, we'll start seeing them roll in and other capabilities from the market space.
Thanks.
How do you feel like a headless implementation is going to be different from a traditional Sitecore implementation?
Yeah, so with your traditional Sitecore, or kind of what's referred to as maybe your traditional CMS, where your HTML database campaigns, everything are managed on a single system, this is great for some implementations, and it's become popular because it did fit a need, or does fit a need. But I think the thing that comes up there is that this is a lot of web first when you're working with a traditional CMS or traditional site core solution, where you have that direct link between your content and front end. So I think the big push here again is that omni-channel. If you have a lot of different places you need to show your data, if you have a lot of different places that your data needs to end up, then the headless solution can really fit. And it gives you that more flexibility to choose even like, yeah, if like you mentioned choosing Next.js or if there's a technology that you're already very comfortable with, the headless solution can kind of might be a faster way to market with that.
Great. Jed, any thoughts from your perspective?
Yeah, so this kind of goes along with composable is that your entire development team has to change their mentality a bit. Not only just with headless, but as a site core developer, we've been empowered by the platform for so many years that we can do anything we want. Like Sitecore has been this gigantic, flexible, you can configure anything that you want. And now it's becoming a little bit more focused. It's still very flexible. You can do a lot of things with it, but now there are these tools that drive search or the Content Hub, DAM that is available that you can just plug in now instead of having to write custom code. Or there's other things like SEO that a Sitecore developer was responsible for before that now gets delegated to the front end on the headless side. That is a UI concern and not necessarily a Sitecore CMS concern. So there's a lot of things just from a mental model perspective that the development teams have to change. And then once they make that switch, it's like, this is so much easier.
Yeah, I think it definitely simplifies the process from what we've seen before. I think people who are looking to plan that new project will definitely need to put the forward thinking into it as they're going into that project and account for that time. And, you know, especially as we see, I've seen projects and had discussions around clients that were interested in converting their existing projects into a headless solution as they're prepping for future steps for things like XM Cloud. And so there's a lot of really exciting discussions already taking place, and it's been fun to see the push towards the headless architecture.
Yeah, and I had a thought around that, or maybe a question even. Since you're disconnected from the head when you're developing or creating content, do you notice that there's been a difficult transition moving from the traditional CMS where you had the content tightly coupled to now like, hey, you have content living in this headless area. I don't even know where it's going to end up. Or sometimes you don't know like even how the head is going to look. Have you noticed or felt any difficulties with that?
I can say so for sure. So one of the areas that is still lagging a bit for headless is being able to preview what content is going to look like on a rendering host that's not web, right? So if you've got a mobile application, you don't have an experience editor or what's it called, pages in XM Cloud to be able to like visualize like what that content is going to look like. So you're left with, you know, either they're editing that content and then they're testing on the device, or you're creating some sort of like a shim type presentation layer so that you can at least see what it would look like. That's really the biggest area where I've seen challenges, just being able to preview that content if it's not web.
Really great question. Very thought-provoking. Have there been any objections that you've seen coming from clients as you start to talk about the composable architecture and headless specifically? From my perspective, I think the biggest things that I've seen have been clients who have already, of course, made their investment in their initial site, and then they're seeing this as a, we have to rebuild. But really, you know, of course, we see technology constantly changing, and this is just an aspect of that in the next iteration of what's to come. So part of the conversation is really talking about what the future state looks like and how this does play a key role in it.
Yeah, and so much of this is communicating Sitecore's roadmap to customers, right? So Sitecore can only do so much on their side from their marketing and their technical evangelization team, which is great. All of those things are great, but you know, it's important for partners to understand that roadmap and to be able to talk to customers about, hey, like, this is where we're trying to go. Nobody expects you to get there tomorrow. Like, let's put together some steps that you can take to get you as close to headless and composable as we can, so that when you are ready to make that step, it's not super painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea, especially kind of when it is composable, you can say, how about we try switching over just your email marketing platform or just this piece to fit your needs, or find out where we can get the value for you right now, which is nice. You get that kind of slower, or I guess more of a gradual migration possible, where it's not just an all or nothing.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps simplify and ease into the rebuild of the platform for them. Yeah, great point. So one thing you can't talk about headless these days in the Sitecore community without hearing Vercel. Vercel seems to be tightly coupled to hearing that term. So I think maybe it might be really good to talk a little bit more about what Vercel is and maybe what some of the key advantages are around Vercel.
Yeah, so I like Vercel. Sitecore and Vercel, we do have a partnership together. And I think at its most basic, Vercel is a front-end hosting platform or a host for your head. But I think it does a whole lot more than that. They have the ability to do kind of integrating with serverless functions. Their infrastructure, when you host on them, it's distributed around the world, content delivery network built in. They have image optimization, a lot of different database and integrations, even with Sitecore and others. So I think it really is this whole platform for not just your head. Even deployments can be done pretty easily with Vercel. They've just added cron jobs, which people have been asking for a while. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a whole lot that Vercel offers. And then they are the creators and maintainers of Next.js. Next.js is open source, but you're going to find Vercel really pushing the roadmap there for what's happening in Next.js. They're doing a lot of cool things in there. I've been hanging out in the new Next.js App Directory architecture quite a bit recently, and excited to see where that takes Next.js. It is a big migration, big change for Next.js, but and I think just make sure to add Vercel hosting it for front ends. It's not just Next.js. I think it's over 30 different front ends now. If you have a popular front end, Vercel is going to be capable of hosting that for you.
Yeah, I was going through that actually earlier today, and I saw the drop-down list with a plethora of options that are available. They also mm-hmm. do monitoring too, so you can monitor your front-end application, which is a really nice feature.
Yeah, analytics I think are built in too now. Yep. And this is all, everything I've mentioned so far is all available on their free hobby tier. My site's hosted through Vercel, free hobby tier. So you can do quite a bit there for free and explore the platform.
So yeah, if you want to talk about objections, this is the objection that I get the most frequently. When I start talking about Vercel with customers, they're like, wait, I thought Sitecore was in Azure. Like, what's this Vercel thing? Right. And so, I love Vercel, we've had great experiences with it. Getting over that hump with customers is really the biggest challenge that I've run into. And so, yeah, we talk about all of those different benefits, but you still have to break through that. For whatever reason, there's an automatic defense mechanism that goes up whenever you start talking about Vercel. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things that I'm working on to try and like break through that barrier and evangelize that platform, because it is extremely helpful when building these types of applications.
So is that barrier you feel like around licensing? Hey, I'm already paying for licensing with Sitecore. We feel like this should potentially be a part of it, and now we're having to look at licensing for Vercel.
That's one of them. And sometimes, like, if you don't if you don't address that concern early enough, then it's hard to recover. But like I look at it from the perspective of, if you've got a traditional site core implementation, you've got however many CD servers and you're scaling those up depending on demand. And anytime you need to scale more or increase your availability, you have to literally copy those, replicate them to different data centers. If you use Vercel, that all comes with right out of the box. You're getting enterprise grade website hosting on the newest platform possible, or the most, I should say, the most popular JavaScript platform. You get all of that just built in, right? And it doesn't, you know, you're not paying for that extra scalability and availability.
Yeah, I think that's a great point of Vercel can help you maximize the work not done if you're hosting through them.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that that would definitely help take some of the complications out for others, and especially around scaling. What are some of the other considerations that we would want to look at making for a composable going from XP to maybe something like XM Cloud Content Hub 1?
You know, everybody knows where that composable goal is, right? Like the holy grail, I guess. I don't know if that's a good term to use, but what we're striving for is software as a service. That's where everybody wants to get to, because you operationalize your content management. And that's huge, right? Just from a cost perspective, being able to enjoy new features that come out of Sitecore immediately is incredible. Something that we've all been dreaming about for a while. So not everybody's going to be able to get there immediately. And so having some of those like paths of, okay, like here's step one and then step two, and then we'll hit the holy grail. We'll get to SaaS, and that might take a couple of years, but at least they've got something tangible that they can see.
And I think the educational process is really important when you're talking to potential clients or existing customers, because being able to help educate them on some of the path that Sitecore has helped laid out, which is, you know, if you have an existing solution, you can go to 10.3 and that'll help get you ready for XM Cloud. But there's also the consideration for the clients who are like, want to dive head first, let's dive in, let's take XM Cloud, and they want to tackle that new technology. So I think that there's considerations, but there's also paths that have already been helpfully identified that you can help educate on.
I mean, the other cool thing, you know, and this is very tactical in nature, but you know, you can you can install Headless on most recent Sitecore versions that you have now. You can install it and you can start to transition your traditional site over to Headless without having to completely gut everything. And there's some technology things that you can do in Vercel or with like gateways that can route requests between a traditional site and a Headless site, so that you can start to move things over to Headless slowly without really any impact to your end users.
Yeah, I like that, giving the gradual migration path. It's never fun to completely start new, at least take what you have and have that gradual path over.
Sometimes it's good to do a complete rebuild though and start from scratch. So where do you guys see Headless going in the next 3 years? Of course, we've already seen huge, immense traction over, I would even say, the last 6 months. Since over the last couple of years. What are your thoughts for where we're headed?
Yeah, so I had to really think about this one. And one of the things that came up is just, I'm pretty interested in like where the head becomes and where is our front end, or how our front ends are evolving. Used to be just web, mobile was a big thing. Now we're talking kiosks, virtual reality, artificial reality. So I'm kind of really interested in seeing how these different heads fit in. I know this Headless solution, the idea is that it can be presented anywhere. I'm wondering if we're going to find a head that doesn't work or something. I guess if you can find it, if you can make an HTTP request, if you can make your GraphQL request, you'll be able to pull your data in. But yeah, just seeing how a lot of these different formerly not so SaaS solutions can now go Headless and display their content anywhere.
I think that's a really great point, calling out that it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to web, your traditional mobile, tablet, or device, or even desktop for that matter. But thinking beyond that, where you can deliver that content and utilize it and maximize what you already have, kiosks, like you mentioned, there's lots of other spaces as well. So I think being able to help stretch that imagination really will help with the future state.
And maybe with that, I know that something that's been popular is the scalability, and I think we're doing a good job of having these CDNs having data everywhere, but I'm interested in how some of the optimizations go. I've been trying to keep up with some of like even just image formats, but I keep getting, as soon as I update to some new image format, there's another better optimized one or some different way of trying to display it. So I'm interested kind of how this optimization happens as we go forward as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how we serve up images alongside with the headless architecture. It's been a challenge even since we really saw the popularity with going between mobile and, how do you serve images between desktop to have a really great resolution versus mobile? So I think seeing that evolution will be a good next step as well.
One of the questions that came into my mind was, right now, Sitecore's headless components are very tightly tied to a version of a JavaScript framework. So as an example, you've got headless 20, which is tied to Next.js 12 dot something. How do you see Sitecore's headless services keeping pace with the front end frameworks and how quickly they're releasing changes?
So I don't know if there's a great way to get past the versioning, because it would be beautiful if we just had one version that just kind of somehow finds itself like, hey, you're using Next.js 12. I'm going to automatically use these API layers. So I do know that we are, though, directly working with Vercel on making sure that we can get the latest features, see what they're developing so that we can try and not fall too behind or try and keep up with their releases. It's kind of funny because Next.js is trying to keep up with React releases. We're trying to then keep up with Next.js releases. So it's kind of this chain that everyone's trying to keep up with compatibility and keep up with the latest features, make sure that we're on there. I do know that work is being put together to support Next.js 13. And they're considering how the app directory comes into there as well. I don't have any release dates on those, but I do know that there are tasks open and being worked on. So that's exciting to see how those updates come. But it's always hard to chase down the latest and greatest features and keep up with all of them.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that teaser for us. Well, great, guys. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on where headless is headed. Definitely we'll have an exciting future ahead as we watch the world turn more composable. That wraps up today's session on headless for Sitecore solutions. But I'd like to give a special thanks to Thomas for joining today, as well as Chet. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. I'm your host, Josh Hover. Thanks for joining today's podcast. Stay tuned for our future sessions.